You're listening to a podcast from Victory. You have a role in discipling the next generation. Learn about how God can use you in week one of You.
We're going to talk about ourselves, and I believe this is so important that really the generation we're into, it's about selfie. Back then, during my time when I was young, I was still a student, we call ourselves the me generation. Actually, nag-iba lang sa title, nag-iba lang yung forma, pero ganun pa rin. It's really about ourselves. In fact, I remember when I was in high school, right after my practice game, I was playing for UST Nuggets, all right, basketball team. I was waiting for my girlfriend after my practice. Somebody dared to approach me and share to me the gospel. Back in 1986. That was history for me. I encountered Jesus, and I gave my life to Christ, and the rest was history. I was so grateful for the time that people cared enough. People get out of their way, went to the campuses to reach out for me. Back in 1988, that was 1986. We started back in 1984. After many years, Victory will turn 30 years this coming July. We're going to celebrate. All right? 30 years na po tayo. Back then until now, our desire is still the same. We are about reaching the students in every campuses. Why is that? Because we care about the future of this nation and the future of our generation. This is about the young people. I believe based on the story that we mentioned of Hannah, we could learn so much on her prayer and what she did that she involved herself in her generation, because whether you like it or not, your generation is all about selfie as well. Kung hindi niyo po natatanong, yung time po nila Hannah noon, it was so difficult. The present time, during her time, there was a low level of spirituality. Idolatry was practiced. No word of the Lord. No visions. You could tell people are wicked. They're unrighteous. They're more than worldly. They're living such a miserable, shameful lives because they don't care less. Not only that the spirituality was so low that time, but there were lack of restraint, meaning they don't really care what people are doing. They were doing whatever seemed right in their own eyes, doing everything that feels so right and comfortable. Miski alam nila kasalanan, alam nila immorality, everybody was doing it and everybody was rejoicing. There was no restraint. There was no fear of the Lord. Not only that there was lack of restraint, but there was a lack of leadership. The priest during those times were corrupt. They were doing different things. They were corrupt officials. Wrong business practices. Those people who were influential can be bought. And kung titingnan po natin, wala pong pinagkaiba sa nangyayari po sa atin ngayon. They're living such a miserable, shameful way of life. But there was one woman who stood among the rest. In spite of the low level of their spiritual life, lack of leadership, low self-restraint, nobody stopped her from having the conviction that God is enough for God to provide what she needed. How can we learn about this? How can we learn about touching and involving ourselves in the next generation? It's so important for us to understand, and there is one word here, it's called invest. Everybody say invest. When you invest, you're talking about money, isn't it? But it's not just money that you invest for that money to work in order for you to get that investment based on what you've given as a capital. Not only money, but even time, talent, your energy. It could be an investment. And whenever you invest something, there is a value that you're expecting to be returned to you, isn't it? We want to encourage everyone to make such an investment. Invest yourself on something valuable, something that will make an impact. Even though we're going to die in the next few years, that probably I'll be dead when I reach 80, because my goal is for me to reach 80 years old. I hope I could reach 85. But in case I would not, my prayer is that may my life be an investment today that will make an impact towards the future. And that's how Hannah did, by investing herself to the next generation. How could we learn from Hannah? Are you ready for this? First things first. Here's what she did. She desperately dedicated herself. Every parent here, every single person, every person who's one day is going to get married, and maybe you just got married, you don't have kids yet, and maybe you are a new couple, you're just a new parent. This is for all of us. This is not just for parents, but this is about our future. I want us to desperately dedicate ourselves like Hannah. Verse 10 says, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. There was a desperate need on her part. What was that? A son. Si Hannah po, asawa po siya ni Elkanah. During their time, all right, not our culture, but their culture, it's okay to have two wives. Sa kanila po, walang legal wife, walang illegal wife, walang borrowed wife, walang not borrowed wife. If they have two wives, that's okay. They allow that in their culture. For us, it's not, isn't it? But in their culture, it was allowed. And Elkanah has two wives. One is, we all know Hannah, and basically she was crying out for something. Wala po siyang anak. And she was basically desperately dedicated herself. She was crying out and calling for God. And she said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, I know you're a great God, but I have an anguish in my heart. Lord, I want a child. Would you give it to me? I hope you would see me. You would see my sacrifices. She was crying out in desperation. And when she cried out in desperation, she was just dedicate herself in prayer. I don't know what condition you're into today. I don't know what situation. Maybe there's a anguish, pain in your heart that you're seeking, desperately asking God for something. It's okay to cry out to God. It's okay to call upon the Lord and ask God and says, Lord, this thing is impossible. I want you to come and intervene for me. Because that's what she did. And what Hannah did was enough. She was asking God desperately, and God heard the cry of her desperation and dedication. Here's what happened in verse 26. And she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. In other words, he got what she was asking God for. The Lord granted her a son. What happened was, God made something out of nothing. What came out in the later years as this boy grew up became one of the nation's greatest leader of all. And his name is Samuel. There will be no King David apart from Samuel. It was Samuel who anointed David. It was Samuel whom God has spoken and says, that's not the one, that's not the first one, not the second one, but the seventh one who'll become king of Israel. And he laid hands and anointed him and prophesied over him. Samuel was one of the greatest leaders ever. He was both a judge, a prophet, a priest of Israel. And because of this woman, the mother who dedicated herself and dedicate her life to the Lord. My prayer is that we parents would dedicate ourselves back again to God to know your purpose to know your calling. This is not about us. This is not about our own life. It's about our legacy that we're going to pass on to the next generation. Folks, let's be like Hannah. She desperately dedicated herself to the Lord. Second, she desperately dedicated the next generation. Everybody say next generation. Verse 11, and the word of God says, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. What's the difference of the selfish generation compared to Hannah? Ano pong difference nun? Sinasabi natin me generation, selfish generation. Ito yung difference. Si Hannah, nag-ask kay Lord, desperately, with faith and patience. She got what she was asking God for in desperation. What happened was when she got the son, she did not take it to herself, but she let it go to God and said, Lord, this is not mine. This is yours. He will serve you the rest of his life. Selfish generation would say, Lord, I cry out of mercy. Lord, bigyan mo na ako nito. Bigyan mo ako anak. Bigyan mo ako ng bahay. Bigyan mo ako asawa. Bigyan mo ako lahat. The moment that you receive that, wala na si Lord sa picture. Kinalimutan na. We boxed him out and take Jesus, take God out of the equation. But the moment that we're desperately seeking and asking God, our focus was God. But the moment that we receive what we ask for, selfish generation, it's about me. What I want, what I need, the moment that you got that, received it, wala na si God. Si Hannah po iba. She did not just dedicate herself to God, but she dedicated her own son by saying, you have a calling. You have a destiny. It's not about me, but it's about the God whom this God has given you for me so that I may raise you and bring him back to him. It's not about us. Your children, your sons and daughters, they are not of us. They belong to Jesus. And we are here as good stewards, as good managers, that we're taking care of this boy and this kid, because one day as he grows up, the investment of faith and righteousness, the investment of what the Word of God says pertaining godly living will be passed on, and that we may be able to release that person in his destiny and the call of God upon the person's life. Can you say amen? Verse 24, after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull and ephah of flour and skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord. And Shiloh, when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. It's so important for us to understand that we parents would not tell our kids, anak kita, ako, businessman, kailangan ikaw, businessman ka rin. Anak kita, son, ako pastor, kailangan magpastor ka din. Ako politiko, kailangan politiko ka rin. Kung saan yung may pera, doon dapat ha. Listen to this. That's not parenting. Parenting is about telling your kid, listen, I want to lead you to God. You have a destiny. You have a bright future. I'll take care of you. I would love you. I'll take care of your needs. But you go to God because you should be dependent on God, not on us. I have a different call. And you should also know your calling. I'm not going to dictate on you what I want, but what Jesus wants for you. My kids, they're great kids. They're bright future. My prayer for them is they will surpass me. And I believe they will. I don't expect them to be pastors. I don't. But I expect them to have the values, the way we raise up our leaders here, the values of engaging in the next generation, the family, leadership, discipleship, being used by God, having the fear of God, without pleasing anybody, but the heart is to honor God and make disciples. But I don't expect them to be pastors. One day, they're going to hear God. They're going to hear God if their calling's in full-time or not. For me, it's no big deal. But my goal is to bring them to Jesus and know the Word of God and know Jesus' voice so that they will encounter Jesus and know for themselves what kind of calling and destiny they're going to become. Are you here with me? We have a story similar to Hannah. Her name is Kit. Everybody say Kit. Cute, no? Kit. As a mom, she was the one who taught her children about the ways of God, taught about the Bible, prayed for them, bring them to Bible studies, connect them to church. One summer, 11 years ago, Kit decided to send her daughter to a youth camp where her daughter got saved. Can you imagine, pinasend sa youth camp, tapos nasave. But Kit has a battle with cancer, unable to go out. But she continued to invite pastors to do Bible studies at home, alongside with her daughter. And back in 2008, Kit passed away. She died. Little she did know that long after she passed away, her legacy would remain. All those years, seeds of God's word grew in her daughter's heart. Her daughter continued to be discipled at Victory U Belt in college. Days and months and become a leader, and that person became our campus missionary of Lightbox. A campus missionary is not a stranger to us, but her name is none other than Che Sugan Desagum. Hindi mo marirecognize yan. Currently, Che is our campus missionary to Fatima University and is reaching to students of young people or also actively reaching out to their families. And Che is here with us. Siya po yung asawa po na magiting na pastor natin na si Jerry. Alright? Little did we know that there's a lady by the name of Pau Delisay. After being discipled, she was able to invite her mom to church. Pau's mom has been connected to Victory Group. Nag-Victory Weekend na po. Pau is one of our fruitful disciple makers at Fatima University. With Robbie Balbuena, he's one of our passionate worship leaders. Carla Velasco has been part of our 10 days. Nag-missionary trip na po. Batang-bata, okay? Nag-missionary na po. Obra Diguia reached out when she was in high school. Now she's in college heading the campus ministry at Felix High School. These are just some of the few who are actively serving God and making disciples as young people. Do you know why? Because of a person by the name of Che Sugan, who reached them out, discipled them, trained them to be leaders, and they're also reaching. It all started with the mother, Kit, who invested her own life to Che so that she would be able to answer the call of God upon her life. Is that amazing? How many parents wanted their children to follow God's path and say, you go ahead and ask God for your destiny. Kit didn't see that coming. But she was like a Hannah who invested her life for the next generation. And that is our goal. Parents, spiritual leaders, men and women, God has called us to invest in the next generation. Number three, she desperately dedicated Samuel to others for discipleship. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. Verse 27, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord right there. That's the call of every person who follows Jesus. It's not about being a believer. It's not about saying that I have Jesus Christ in my heart. No. It's about us who believes in the Lord and follows the ways of the Lord. Why? Because there's somebody helping you follow Jesus as well. There's somebody discipling you, leading you to Christ, so that one day God will use you to help others bring to Christ those lost people, and yet they will be discipled and the baton will be passed on, that those people who were discipled will also disciple others, just like exactly what Che has done to Robbie, to Pao, to Carla, to Aubrey de Guia. Can we entrust our children to other people and just release them? Because in this church, we believe in different anchors. You know, my son, yeah, I prayed for him. We have devotions. But right now, they're in different groups. And I don't even know some of them. I asked my son this afternoon, who's your leader? J-Rod? J-Rod what? J-Rod Dagunan? Tawa-tawa lang ako. One of our leaders here. Okay. Oh yeah, he's good, Dad. Okay. And I allow myself for them to be discipled by other people. Why? Because we believe in different impartations. Because the Holy Spirit works in different persons like us. Can you say amen? Church, what are we doing in order for us not to lose the generation? This is not about parenting. This is about every single one of us. This is about what you do in every single life of ours that is meant to make an impact, so that God will be able to raise a generation, because the church is on the cutting edge. Wherever we go, that the heart of Jesus still remains. People are crying out, don't you ever lose us. What about our own kids? What about our own relatives? What about our own cousins? What about our own brothers and sisters? What about the people that we know that has been lost? Are we going to remain keeping ourselves on the fringes by doing nothing and let the devil take its part? The media has taken over. MTV says, here's what the owner of MTV says, we own the youth. Social media and all that's going on in the internet have a grasp and hold of the minds and the eyes of the youth as compared to the parents and to the loved ones inside the house. Most of their time they spend in the internet. What are we doing? What about your time with them? Are we losing this generation? Here's what social networks and social media will tell us. The advertisement will tell us, all right, for us to get to the homes, let's reach out the kids. And the moment that we reach out to their kids will turn their papas, their moms, mom, buy me this. And their moms and their parents will reach out to their wallets and give them what they want. We're supposed to do that, isn't it? But are we making an impact? Are we desperately dedicating our lives, our children, the next generation, for their future? Judges chapter 2 verse 10. After a whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what He has done for Israel. My prayer is that we will not lose this. Tayo, Christian tayo, pagdating sa bahay, sister natin, brother natin, o tayo, parents tayo, mga anak natin, they're gonna lose the edge. They're gonna miss it. Kaya my prayer, Lord, I pray for my children that they will surpass me. That the passion that I have, Lord, double it 10 times, Lord, that I have, they're gonna become better. If we're not going to do our part and invest in the next generation, somebody will. The devil is out there. Here's what happened to Samuel. Verse 18. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Verse 21. The boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. How many of us wants to see our kids being raised up in the presence of God, fearing God, loving God with all of their hearts, and serving God with passion? We want to see that happening, isn't it? But we've got to make an investment. If there's somebody I want to really say thank you to Jesus, is using this man who poured out his life, invest his life to me. He taught me how to preach. He taught me how to disciple others. He taught me about life. He taught me about how to treat my wife. He taught me about running. I lost weight last year because of this man. This guy did more than the spiritual. He invested his life to me. His name is Pastor Ferdy Kabiling. And he's the pastor of the whole Metro Manila Church. It's not only me that he invested his life in the next generation, but even my co-pastor, like Pastor Rico Ricafort, who's a second hand to Pastor Ferdy leading Ortigas Church. Once me and Pastor Rico both led our movement, our youth movement, all across the nation. And right now, he's the second man in Victory Ortigas. We have also one whom Pastor Ferdy discipled and really poured out his life. Pastor Dennis C., our senior pastor of Victory Green Hills. If there's anything we have in common, because Pastor Ferdy poured out his life, discipled, and has not forgotten the next generation. Not only that, just last summer, we sent 160 people in their leaders' camp. We're believing as we invest in the lives of these people, the campuses here in Metro East will turn downside up because our investment is worth upon the lives of these 160 people. And not only this, but there are people inside this church where they've given their lives towards the destiny of fulfilling the call to reach out the campuses, and they are our Lifebox campus missionaries. These are the people who dedicate themselves and say, I'm called full-time. I'm going to go there and be a missionary in the campuses. Folks, they have done their part. But I want to ask you today, as a church here in Victory Metro East, whether you're a parent, you're single, you're a new parent, you're a couple about to be engaged, about to be married, you're a student, let's invest in the next generation like Hannah. Can you say amen? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads as we end today. Again, this is not about us. It's about God and His destiny and His heart for the next generation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message that you've given us. Thank you for the value of having a heart to reach the next generation. Lord, we thank you that even I myself was reached when I was a student. Lord, there's more students out there who needs to hear God's word, who needs to be engaged so that they'll be discipled and turn to be leaders, and that we may be able to prepare them and release them towards their destiny, because every person has a destiny. Father, I pray that we will just be like Hannah, that we'll be desperate and dedicate ourselves to you and willing to release our own children, Lord, back to you. If you're 18 years old and above, 18, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60s, lolo na tayo, it's not yet late. I want to pray for you from 18 years old above, all across the age. Would you raise up your hand? I want to pray for you right now. From 18 down to 70, if there's any person who is your 80, you're part of this, I want to pray for you. Can you raise up your hand? I want to pray for us. Father, I just pray for every person who's here today. You know who they are. I pray, Lord God, that you will speak to them, every parent, every student, every single young couple, every grandfather, grandmother. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, enable us not to neglect the next generation. Father, I pray, speak to us how to disciple our family. Speak to us, Lord God, how to establish them in the faith, how to point them to Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I'm asking you, as we leave this place, bother our hearts, Lord. Bother us to do something, to invest in the next generation. Father, bless your people today. I pray, Lord God, that we will like be Hannah, Lord. That we will be able to know our calling. That we will be desperately enough seeking, Lord God, crying out to you, Lord God, that the children that were raised could be like Samuel, the next Joshua, the next David, Lord God, the next men of God who will transform our nation. So, Father, I pray that you release your grace upon us. We give you glory, Lord. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone would say, amen. Can we just give the Lord a big hand right now? Come on. Praise God.